You are listening to CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offutt Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner.
Hi, this is Corey Perdue. I'm the president and CEO of DataQuip.
You want to tell us about DataQuip and how you've come to found it and why?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's really two parts of it. There's kind of my personal story, and then there's the why of the business. So from a personal standpoint, I've always been in the energy and building automation space. It's actually a bit of a family business. Everyone in my family is either a steam fitter, which is a type of HVAC technician, or my father actually started his own controls company actually over 30 years ago now. And that was the first company I really worked for and developed a passion for building automation and helping people operate their buildings more efficiently. And when I left that company, you know, I really took a step back and looked out at the industry as a whole. And what we really noticed was that 30% of the energy, and this has come straight from the Department of Energy, 30% of the energy in commercial facilities is actually wasted. And that's not to say we need to all spend $10 million to improve these buildings. There are small things that can be done in a relatively short time frame to make these buildings operate radically more efficient. So to solve that problem, we founded DataQuip. So what DataQuip does is it takes data from existing data sources and facilities. So this is something quite unique about our company, where we actually go into a facility and the first thing we do is we actually audit what data sources are currently available. And then we pull that data in real time up into our software as a service cloud platform. And we're able to actually look at the data in real time automatically at scale to find the best ways for each individual customer to actually lower their operating expenses, make their buildings more efficient. And kind of the net effect is a low capital cost option that provides solutions with incredibly short ROI periods, relatively low effort for the return that you're getting, and then a solution that not only makes these recommendations but continues to monitor their performance on an ongoing basis. So it's been a fantastic journey up until this point.
So it would require that all building automation systems have an open API that you can tap into, right? Is that something available for you?
Yeah, so the data accessibility is always an exciting challenge. You know, we're very fortunate that it's 2019 and not 1999. There have been a lot of trends in the industry over the last 20 years, 25 years that have helped make a lot of this data more available. That's not to say it's all being utilized. But we've developed a couple different proprietary strategies for getting the data from certain sources where others may struggle. And that's really helped us expand our market base, expand the different profiles of customers that we can serve. So in not every case does it have to be kind of this perfect bundled open API. A lot of times we're able to get data from an underlying database, from a legacy system, or heck, we've even done things like have to pull the data out of Excel files, if that's what it takes. But regardless, as long as the data is being tracked and recorded on some regular interval, or it's being made available on some kind of live stream, you know, our value proposition stands, where we really can use that data to help the customer make better decisions.
So what was the aha moment, you know, for you to say, this is a software solution. We need a software to do what I think could be done. And are you the one who created the code and created the software?
Two questions. We did develop the software in-house, so we're very proud of that. The biggest point there for our customers is that it's highly customizable. This is a very distribution heavy industry where core products are developed by relatively large companies and then distributed to many independent resellers. And with DataQuip, while we do have a great partnership network, we manage the entire code base. So what DataQuip is defined by us and our customers. Now, as far as what the aha moment was and why we decided to build a software platform, there's actually a study that came out. It was in 2012, and it actually showed that, and this was all part of a larger data effort that's run by the Department of Energy through the EIA, which is the Energy Information Association, called CBEX, which everyone in the industry is very familiar with. And what the CBEX data showed us is there actually wasn't a direct correlation in all cases between the investment in energy efficient products and the actual performance of the buildings in which they were installed. So we landed on the obvious conclusion, which the difference had to be awareness. It had to be monitoring and ensuring that we're using these assets to their fullest potential on an ongoing basis so that we can actually realize the ROI we expect from these, you know, efficient capital investments.
Yeah, it's like Josh and I were talking. My background's engineering. I worked for a mechanical contractor, and so we were at steam fitters. We had a union steam fitters, so I'm familiar with all that industry and worked with in buildings and chillers and rooftop units but through that I was also very interested in home performance, so tightening mm-hmm. up homes. I mean, same kind of concepts, but so much housing stock out there, and it goes back to your comment about the investment into things that don't really work that well, as far as, so people would spend $30,000 on solar panels when if they spent $5,000, they could tighten their home up and they would save a lot more money and energy. Mm-hmm. And so that's the disconnect is how do you get, a building owner interested, educated on the impact they can make, not on the sexy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was funny because an article came out recently, and forgive me, I can't quote the source, but it said, energy efficiency is like the linebacker of the football team, right? They're the most important guy out there. Without them, the team would fall apart, but the announcers never talk about them, and you don't read about them in Sports Illustrated, right? Okay. So with energy efficiency, especially when you look from an asset ownership standpoint, one of the great things that's starting to happen is more and more when real estate properties are, major real estate properties like this one are valued, the utility expense goes right in to the net operating expense, AKA, or vis-a-vis the net operating income, which of course, depending on the cap rate, converts into the actual asset valuation. Hmm. So one of the great stories we can tell with DataQuip when it comes to building owners is, if you're looking for the lowest upfront capital investment to have the highest shortest term payoff that will actually increase the value of your facility. Oh, hey, and by the way, it's going to increase your Energy Star score. Hey, if you ever want to go for LEED, it's going to help there too. By the way, we have all kinds of regulations coming down the pipe, both at the federal and the municipal, state, local government level that are going to require that we're all more sustainable. So DataQuip really is that initial step down all of these paths.
Where do you think, we asked Josh a lot of questions about sales and customers, but I guess from the standpoint of, your vision, how do you see it growing and where can you take DataQuip, domestically, internationally, how do you get it in everybody's hands? Those kind of questions, I guess, come to mind.
Yeah, so scalability is always a really interesting conversation topic around this business, right? Because I wish I could sit here and say, hey, here's the DataQuip gray box, and we're going to sell millions and millions of this gray box, and it's going to be perfectly scalable. The reality is, as part of what's happening in the energy industry right now, or especially on the commercial building side, is everybody's in a different place, kind of on what I say our smart building journey, right? So one building may not even have a building automation system yet. Another building may be already considered a high performance building. So what's the common theme that we can help with all these different facilities? And it's data collection, analytics, and recommending best practices and improvements. Mm-hmm. So what we've done from a scalability standpoint is make sure that we can bolt our platform on to as many different buildings as possible, whether that's domestic, international, whatever the case may be, using whatever type of system the customer may already have. In the rare case that they don't have anything, which is virtually impossible in 2019. But in that rare case, then what we do is we provide a consultative service that will actually give them a bit of a roadmap to help get them to that next level, and we'll take that journey with them. But as far as our vision, we want to be in every building in the world. We'd like to see ourselves onboarding at least 100 buildings a year starting this year and then growing exponentially from there. Obviously, there's some upfront work that's required to onboard these buildings, but we're developing new technology all the time that's shortening that runway, right? Shortening the amount of time that it takes for you to go live with DataQuip. But to be honest, when you look at what people want in the kind of smart facilities world right now, I think the reality of the current situation in the market is there's a lot of great players out there who bring a lot of different services. I think for better or worse, we're going to see consolidation though over time. So DataQuip keeps in mind, look, we need to play well with our partners. We need to work well with other offerings and other solutions and promote data exchange, of course, being security conscious at the same time, but promote data exchange. But then also, because of the way we're bringing data into the DataQuip platform, we're actually well positioned to continue to offer more and more horizontal services using the data that we already have. So for example, right now we're focused primarily on analytics, but we'll be looking over the next few years to make a shift towards optimization and then perhaps actually offering full-fledged cloud-based building management systems that are not just doing the analytics, but the optimization and perhaps even the control. The advantage being that once you get into the cloud, all of these things become more scalable. Right, and now the great thing is you can take all those best practices, that standardization, and overlay it on multiple buildings in a way that's been, you know, frankly cost prohibitive in the past. But because we're able to do this in a scalable way in the cloud, we'll actually see that upfront cost drop, and the scalability will, you know, frankly increase exponentially.
So from, you know, from that standpoint, the cloud standpoint, what's the cyber issue, you know, with somebody perhaps taking over a building automation system and shutting it down, or, you know, doing some bad stuff to it? You know, what do you guys have some protection toward that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny, if you look back on a lot of the hacking incidents that have happened, in every case, you can point out a specific instance where even today's best practices from a security standpoint weren't followed. I mean, even 15 years ago, there were scandals around some of the largest building automation players in the world. And what we found at the time, or what the industry found, I should say, is that people were taking these systems and they were just plugging them and leaving them on the public internet. Right, and just leaving their, not to be overly technical, but just leaving ports, communication pathways open into these systems. So while I think there's always room for advancement in the cybersecurity space, and there's always things we can be doing better, and there's a lot of great technologies out there, but the first thing and the biggest thing is every time we connect to any system, no matter what industry you're in, follow best practices, use firewalls, use encrypted VPN tunnels, right? Make sure you're actually hashing your passwords, right? Don't be sending things in plain text across the internet. These are just some of the basic things that, unfortunately, you know, until the last 10 or 15 years, kind of the average building automation system company wasn't necessarily following.
So startups usually looking for money and or people. What's your pitch? I mean, what are you looking for? What do you need to grow?
Yes. it's actually funny you would bring that up. I want to address the people thing first. So this is a very niche industry. And one of the things that we've had to do to be successful is find really great people from semi-adjacent industries and then bring them in and train them on our technology. And that's something that we've just built that kind of quote-unquote training overhead or runway or whatever you want to call it, built that into our roadmap. So that's the first thing. From a monetary standpoint, we're in actually a small pre-seed round right now. We were self-funded for the first 3 years. Which is something we're very proud of, but the time to expand is now. So we're doing a pre-seed now. We'll be looking forward to what you would call kind of a typical full seed round in that $1 to $2 million range early next year.
Awesome. That's great. Cool. What else?
Well, they would ask you on Shark Tank, what would you do with that $1 or $2 million?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
What do you need the money for?
Yeah, market expansion. Commercial real estate has notoriously so sales cycles, right? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you need a local presence where you're going to be. Not a lot of sales happen remotely, right? So it's expanding to key markets, establishing local offices in those markets. And then it's, you know, I get that the kind of the sexy thing to do as a startup is say, oh yeah, we're gonna post a viral video and then everyone's going to buy our product, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, that's not how this works, mm-hmm. right? This takes time. It takes time. You have to build the relationship with the commercial real estate entities, right? You have to work with the property managers and owners and maintenance companies. And like I said, because everyone's in a different place on that kind of smart building journey, there is no magic one-size-fit-all, right? We can build as much adaptability into this product as we possibly want, but unless we want to take the burden of standardization and dump that on our customers, we have to plan to invest that time at the customer level to actually talk to them about what their needs are today and help them get to a place where they're ready to be on the Dataquip platform. But again, just to summarize, it's market penetration, getting to new markets. We think it takes about four people to realistically tackle, you know, a new local market. The other thing we're doing is, because of the nature of our product, we're actually eligible for a number of different utility incentive programs across the country. So we're actually kind of targeting specific areas where there's additional financial incentive for customers to participate with Dataquip, because they'll receive actual incentive and rebates. So, you know, Chicago, New York, LA, cities like that, that have these great programs that our customers can participate in are where we're headed next.
So what, how much of your, you know, growing up in the family business has provided this foundation of where you're at now? I mean, you're, you know, a young guy that, you know, seems to really know what you're doing.
Well, you have to be a little bit crazy to want to be in this industry, I think. You know, like, being in an industry that revolves around keeping everyone in a building happy all the time is not the probably the easiest or the least stressful line of work you can pick. And I think it takes a certain blue collar work ethic to really appreciate what people expect out of their buildings. And understand that it's not always as simple as turning the lights off at 5 o'clock. You know, there are people in these facilities. And, you know, just being surrounded by that mentality and you know, having a father and brothers and brothers-in-laws and uncles and all kinds of people who just get that and preach that, I mean, yeah, it's invaluable. You know, my seventh grade science fair project was a fish tank with a light bulb and a fan in it being controlled off a electronic thermostat that my dad helped me build, you know? So it's been a really cool journey. And yeah, it's played a huge role.
Are your steam fitters in your family, are the union steam fitters?
Yeah, some union, some non-union, yeah.
That's what that was an interesting part of the General Mechanical Services, was the mechanical group I was with, and you know, they were, and you know, there was the union training. That was really what the advantage of going through the union was, that the really great training programs for steam fitters.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important because it provides a path, right? Yeah. It provides a path where people can get involved in the industry, and there's a path laid out where they can be successful.
Yeah. And stuff that people don't know about. You know, the, a lot of the mechanical systems people don't really have to think about because of automation and stuff that you guys are doing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because a system that's working perfectly is one you never think about. Yeah. And that's why we have, it's really interesting, because that's why we have this concept. You know, you gotta love when someone comes up with a term that you didn't have to think of, but it just helps you out. And one of the terms that's kind of surfaced recently that we don't have to take credit for is performance drift. And this idea that if it's out of sight, out of mind, well, I guess everything's fine. And if you start looking at the data, that of course isn't the case. So it's created this phenomenon where literally you can pick just about any building and benchmark it day one. And if they follow even, you know, moderate maintenance practices, you'll see about 5% loss of performance each year. And it's just because there's so much going on you can't see.
Right. Why would someone want to work for you? It's, you know, because you're the passion that you have in into what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So to answer the question, yeah. why do data analytics for commercial facilities, right? Well, first of all, we spend the majority of our lives indoors, okay? And on top of it, as we can see from some of the statistics I've already quoted, right, 30% of energy in commercial buildings wasted, right? We don't treat buildings. We don't treat buildings the way we expect them to treat us, right? We expect every day to walk into a building, have the lights be on, already have the space comfortable. I mean, one of the things people don't even talk about is just managing carbon dioxide, right? We expect to have fresh air in buildings. And there's all kinds of things in buildings that are constantly working to take that fresh air away from us and give that fresh air back to us, right? Do we really properly maintain those systems, right? And I'm not picking on anybody in the industry, and I'm not picking on, you know, there's so many people trying to do the right thing. It's not about someone not caring, or it's not about someone not doing their job right. It's just the size of the problem, mm-hmm. right? The just sheer amount of things that have to be tracked and managed for a facility to remain effective at treating us the way we want to be treated in that mm-hmm. facility is monumental, yeah. right? So that's the idea behind DataQuip. If we use the data to tackle that problem as opposed to continuing to pile on our overworked building engineers, right? Which, by the way, is a shrinking pool of talent, which is a whole nother issue, yeah, right? So we have an aging workforce in the building management space, and we're pouring more and more on them, right? As that domain expertise fades away into retirement, right, more responsibility gets put on the people who are left, mm-hmm. right? The only answer is to automate the review of this data. The only answer is to actually try to analyze it in real time.
This has been CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offit Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner. For more information and to tell your entrepreneurial story, visit us on the web at ceominutes.com.